Hey everyone, it's me, Sam Stein, managing editor of The Bulwark, joined by Lauren Egan, author of the Opposition newsletter. She had a good one last night. We're not going to be talking about that though. Sorry, Lauren. We got other things on our mind. We're going to be talking about Graham Plattner, who's got a new ad up in Maine, and Susan Collins, who has an ad as well. Incredibly different spots. And I guess it's the first indication that we are definitely in general election season. Lauren, are you excited to just be inundated with campaign ads?
Yeah, I look forward to it. Every 2 years, it's my favorite thing.
At least we don't live, well, you're in Tennessee, so you might
get I get a lot of them. Yeah. Already starting to get them. But this is where cutting the cord helps, you know. With streaming, it's a little bit harder to find me.
Good point. Yeah. I feel for the people in California who are just can't escape the Tom Steyer ads right now. All right, let's start with Plattner's ad, which is, I would say, generously, the more provocative of the two ads. Again, these ads have incredibly different styles, and it really says a lot about the state of this race. Let's watch the Plattner ad first.
Susan Collins' charade is over. We don't care that you pretend to be remorseful at the start of a new forever war that you chose to let happen. We don't care that you are concerned while we go broke as you sell us out to the president and to the Epstein class, who are engineering the greatest redistribution of wealth from the working class to the ruling class in this nation's history. Symbolic opposition doesn't reopen hospitals. Weak condemnations don't bring back Roe v. Wade. And selling out the same working class voters who've delivered mandate for change after mandate for change is not forgivable. A performative politics that enables the destruction of our way of life is disqualifying. As a United States Senator, I am running because it is time for change.
I'm Graham Plattner, and I approve this message.
I had to like turn my volume down.
This is the way it comes on with the Susan Collins.
I know. Like, I was like, whoa.
Boom.
Whoa.
Yeah. So what'd you make?
It's pure populist lefty message. Sure. It's super aggressive. As we'll see with the Collins one, it's very different. He goes right for her. The entire thing is just him trashing Susan Collins. I mean, it's an interesting choice because this is for both of them. These are their first general election, right? Like we're now in general election season. It's their first ads of this phase of the campaign. And oftentimes people use that first general ad to kind of like reintroduce themselves. Like he could have gone out there and said, I'm this oyster man. Here's my story about Maine. Here's why I love Maine. He talks a lot about reaching out to Trump voters. He's put a lot of videos on his social platforms about him.
Right.
Talking like that's something he could have done, right? And he didn't do that. This is a totally different choice. And I mean, he's telling us the kind of race he wants to run. Like, this is the kind of campaign that Graham Plattner wants to run. And this is what we've got.
Do you think it's effective?
I don't know. Like, certainly that's going to appeal to some people, right? Like, there's a segment of the party that is desperately hungry for that right now. I mean, that was a lot of his, it's not like this is new about him. Like this was his pitch during the primary phase as well. He's just obviously like really amping that up. And obviously in a general, you might expect someone to kind of soften some of those edges a little bit. And that's not something he's doing. He's saying, no, this is the general election candidate I'm going to be. I'm not going to try and sort of run away from the populist-y roots that I first announced on.
All right, so here's my view on it. And I have no reporting to indicate that I'm right, but I think I'm right. He needs to get her negatives down. I mean, maybe she has negatives in these public polling, but time and again she does well in Maine. And I think they've concluded that basically Maine voters are like, okay, Susan Collins is, you know, a reliable senator. We've been fine with her. She stands up for Trump and, you know, or she stands up to Trump, I should say. And we, you know, and she's independent minded. And therefore, we're comfortable casting another ballot for her. And we don't know this guy that well. And so he's got a job to do, which is to make people feel like, no, she's not acceptable anymore. And so that's what this ad's about. It's just going like hard at her, hard at this idea that she's an actual check on Trump and more framing her as a, you know, revolving door for Trump that he can just walk over. Mixed metaphors there. And the other thing I was kind of curious about was the decision to use Iran up top. Like that was the first thing he went after. We could talk about the Epstein class too, which was notable, but like, the forever wars and Iran stuff. Like, the conventional wisdom is always that no one really votes on foreign policy stuff. I guess it's in the news. It's obviously the top news item, but it's like kind of telling that he went there first.
Yeah. Well, he's also, again, an effective messenger on that. He's a veteran. And he's talked about, I agree. Usually foreign policy stuff isn't first, but I think Democrats are effectively transcending the Iran war into something much bigger, right? It's like Trump's just ignoring you. There's all this shit going on at home and he doesn't care. It's not so much about what we are actually doing in Iran. It's the decision that for Trump to be distracted and spend a bunch of money over there when there's a lot of things that he said he's going to do back home that he's not doing. And I do think it's effective.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm curious if we'll see. This is something that I think we should probably monitor. Is this going to be part of other people's ads against Republicans? Or is it more fleeting, right? Is it momentary? The Epstein class stuff. What did you make of that?
That's definitely going to be. I mean, we've seen that from other Democrats so far. And I think that I don't know. I think it depends who you're hitting with that, you know? I don't know.
I don't associate Susan Collins with the Epstein class.
Yeah. I don't know if that sticks. To me, that doesn't stick as much with her, but I get the instinct to want to sort of wrap everyone up everyone in the Republican Party to tie them into that. It's just
everyone who's in power is part of the Epstein class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. And if you're giving Trump cover, this is what you're giving him cover for, is kind of the message. But yeah, she's a little bit tougher, I think.
Let's talk about the risks, if there are any here for Plattner. So he needs, I guess if I had to diagnose a weakness, it's obviously that he's new on the scene and can be defined because people don't have perceptions of him. He's got, some inappropriate tattoos, I will say, to put it mildly, and some uncomfortable past posts on social media sites that he's got to deal with. And there's a perception that he's a bit of a wild card, right? So the risk, I suppose, of an ad like this is that you forego the chance to kind of define yourself in lighter terms, as you put it. And if you're going so hard out of the gate, which I'm actually for, I think it's, if you got to do it, if you're Dem, take the gloves off. But you do risk coming off as sort of being mean to this, 70-whatever-year-old senator who's been a mainstay of Maine.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a huge risk, though.
Yeah,
I just feel right. People are
in the age of Trump, maybe, what am I talking about, right?
Yeah, maybe it would have been a decade ago, but we're just so far past that. And I mean, Plattner is new on the scene, but because his primary got so much national attention, I actually think that that's people in Maine, for my perception of it and talking to folks there, it's the state has gotten a chance to kind of get to know, at least more than you would necessarily expect at this point in a race.
It's not a big state.
It's not a big state. It got so much national attention. He's captured the attention of a lot of the Democratic Party. So it's not like people are just now finding out about this guy. So I think it's a little different. He is more defined than you would traditionally expect for a total newcomer like this.
Yeah. I will say he's going to go at her. I mean, it seems pretty evident. This is just going to be the entirety of the next 6 months. He's just going to hammer her.
I mean, she's going to go out. There is some reporting, that some allied Collins groups are getting ready, unsurprisingly, to hit him with a bunch of stuff, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, we already got a flavor of all that with the Janet Mills.
Well, the distinction between the outside groups going after him and her herself,
totally.
she'll be elevated. But he is just going to be absolutely throwing daggers at her the entire time, which is different than what we would have gotten, obviously, with Janet Mills, who seemed to have an aversion to doing any contrast with Collins.
That's what was one of my first thoughts. I was wow, if this is Janet Mills, the Janet Mills ad that would have run today would have been identical to the Susan Collins ad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just would have been here's what I did as governor.
Well, let's play the Susan Collins ad then, because people should see it. This ad is brought to you by ZocDoc. Now, finding a doctor you actually like feels like discovering a diamond in the rough. Sure, you want someone in-network who's nearby, who has open time slots, but let's be honest, that's just the start. You also deserve someone who really listens and who makes you feel comfortable. Your diamond in the rough doctor, luckily, does exist. And finding them is easy. You just go to ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors so you can find someone who you love. whether you're looking for dermatology, dentistry, primary care, eye care, or one of the other 200 plus specialists offered on ZocDoc, you can easily search by specialty or symptom to build the care team that's right for you. Look, I'm about to be 44 years old. I know, doesn't look it. I got aches and pains all the time. I'm always a little bit nervous. ZocDoc gives me the comfort that I need when I'm looking for a doctor for a specialty that I didn't even know existed. So stop putting off those doctor appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/bulwarktakes to find and instantly book a doctor who you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/bulwarktakes. ZocDoc.com/bulwarktakes. Thanks, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message. Remember what we just watched with Grant Platter, and now watch this from Susan Collins.
The Eastport Breakwater was originally built in 1962 with a lifespan of 20 years. Well, at the end of those 20 years, it was supposed to be replaced, but it never was. Back in December of 2014, we received a phone call at 2:17 in the morning notifying us that the breakwater had tragically collapsed. There was thankfully no serious injuries. When the breakwater collapsed, it brought a halt to most of our economics and brought a tremendous amount of uncertainty to our future. But prior to sunrise, we received a phone call from Senator Susan Collins, who assured us that she would be there to help see it rebuilt. Just having that assurance meant so much to this community. Senator Collins helped lead the delegation in making sure that we got the federal funding that would be needed. The new breakwater wasn't simply replaced, it was upgraded, and it continues to be a central focal point of what makes Eastport great. The breakwater has long been a part of Eastport's past, and with the help of Susan Collins, it'll always be a part of our future as well. Susan, thank you.
I'm Susan Collins, and I've approved this message.
I mean, incredible. It's like a relic of the past. It's, you know,
truly.
Look at this. Wow. Look at this money I brought home from the Eastport breakwater.
This feels like it could have been like a 2010 ad. Yeah.
And I will just say, so she's not in the ad at all until the end when she approves the message. It's a local Maine man. And it's totally provincial. It's about a situation that happened in 2014. So over 10 years ago is when this breakwater collapsed. And it's basically her saying, hey, I can bring home the bacon for you if you just bring me back there, which she has done to her credit. Like, she's managed to secure a bunch of stuff for Maine from the Trump administration because they're very, you know, aware that she's in danger. So she gets all this like special stuff for LIHEAP and, you know, for, you know, whatever, like energy sourcing and stuff like that. And she gets all these goodies. But does that sell in the modern age? Do people care enough? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Right. Because her whole pitch has always been, you know, she's on the Appropriations Committee. She can deliver for Maine.
Chairs it.
That, yeah. You know? Yeah. But I really don't know if that's going to be enough anymore.
Why not?
It just feels like, it's like a gut feeling. It just feels like something has shifted in a way. We feel like we're in an entirely different place than where we were in the 2020 race. Like, I just don't see this landing in the same way. But I mean, this is what's tough about Susan Collins, is it's so easy to say that and then she keeps on winning, you know?
Yeah. I guess it's like, from the vantage point of a Maine voter, I guess the calculation she's trying to make is everyone knows all this shit's happening across the country and that the administration, Trump administration, is withholding funds all over the place, kind of skirting the law in terms of appropriations, doing unethical things, and launching this war in Iran. I can insulate you if you just reelect me. Like, I can make things better for you, people of Maine, if you reelect me. But if you elect that guy, you can't have that element of protection. And, you know, maybe for enough Mainers, that's like, cool. Like, we're happy with keeping ourselves secure and safe and somewhat prosperous because of Susan Collins. But it also requires them to say, you know what, the rest of the country, we don't really care about. like, that's a little tough.
And like, Trump in 2020 is very different than Trump in 2026. You know what I mean? Like, if you're willing to kind of like swallow that pill in 2020, it's a different calculation that you're making in 2026. Like, things are just way wilder than they were 6 years ago. And I think that's probably a tougher choice for some people.
We also don't have Trump on the ballot. Like in 2020, his people came out regardless of place, and that included Maine, right? And like, are Trumpers going to come out for Susan Collins?
Right. And like, if you are saying that she, you know, she can insulate folks from Trump or whatever, I mean, sure, but that's 2 more years. Like, we don't know who's going to be in office in the White House in 2029. You know, it's not quite as, which, you know, I guess it was the same case back in 2020, but I just think it's different.
Sure. Now, last thing is that hanging over all this is sort of the uncomfortable conversation around dynamism age, frailty, health. Obviously, Plattner is much younger, and Susan Collins has been around for a bit. And this week, she was, I would say, forced to, in a way, because it started bubbling up online and in some articles, forced to address the fact that in some of these videos, she can be seen shaking a little bit. And she talked about how she has a benign tremor, and she's had it her entire career, and it's totally innocuous, and she's worked through it. It's not a problem, but let's watch her talk about it.
What I have is an extremely common condition that is called a benign essential tremor. I have had it for the entire time that I've served in the United States Senate. It has absolutely no impact on my ability to do my job or on how I feel each day.
So it may not have an impact on her ability to do her job. I don't think it does. And I trust that it has no impact on how she feels every day. What it does have an impact on is how voters perceive her. And we're in a post-Biden age where this stuff now is way more out in the open and discussed and considered as a calculus for voters. And obviously we're in an age in the Democratic side of the ledger where people are hungry for younger, more, you know, candidates with more vitality, basically. What do you make of how that plays?
I mean, obviously this is something that matters to Democrats, but those folks are going to vote for Plattner anyways. I'm curious to see like whether this is a hang up for the more independent folks, the folks that were crossover voters.
Maine is a really old state.
Maine's an old state. But you know what, when I was up there, I guess it was October the last time I was up there covering this race. It's the old people that have an issue with electing older people. You know, they're like, I don't have as much energy. I'm 70 years old and I don't have as much energy as I did when I was 40. Like, they're pretty self-aware about it. So I actually don't think that because it's an older state, that means they're going to be like more okay with nominating or electing someone who's older.
It's going to be an interesting contrast. I think Plattner's path here is very evident, which is he's just going to outwork her, out-hustle her, hit her every occasion, nationalize the race, and, you know, seem, you know, create an incredible contrast. And her case is way more like, I got a playbook that's worked for 30 years or whatever it is, and I'm going to do it again. We'll keep monitoring it. Lauren Egan, thanks so much. For those who are watching, thanks for watching. Subscribe to The Bulwark. Also, the plugs are going to stop soon because the shows are coming up. May 20th and May 21st, we are in San Diego and Los Angeles. It's going to be great live shows. Me, Tim Miller, Sarah Long will come and watch us, come and participate in live shows with us. Tickets are on sale at thebulwark.com/events. Go grab them now. Hopefully we'll see you there. Take care.